Heavenly Father, we worship you, the great I am. We bring ourselves before you this morning under the covering of our spiritual fathers as we stand in order under the Lordship of Jesus. Father, we ask for mercy. I ask for mercy upon my heart and upon my lips, fresh unction and anointing to stand faithful, Lord, in your house, to minister as an oracle of God, that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, in purity, in power, in clarity, in the simplicity and comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And let that work, that word, not return to you void, but let it accomplish an internal, eternal work, making our wills, including my own, more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated to the revelation light from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and, Lord, and impacted by the fruit, the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that our lives will not be the same, but you would transform us to a higher degree of glory in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth under the covering of our fathers, Lord God, let yokes be broken. Lord, let blind eyes be opened. Let every veil of darkness, Lord, let it be torn and removed. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that we'll be doers of the things that we hear, and not hearers only, Lord, bringing forth fruit that is well-pleasing and that will glorify you in Jesus' name. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things. Help me, O God, to seek not my own will, but the will of him who has sent me, so that, Father, my judgment will be just, and I will do all that is in your heart, all that is in your will, Lord, not adding mine, in the name of Jesus. Help me to be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. Say, let your will be done as we go into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. To the word this morning, we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and last time we were in this book, we were in chapter 2, we looked at verses 7 to 12. And what God is doing in this book is that the Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul as a pattern of what mature ministers should be, what mature spiritual fatherhood looks like. And, you know, in the chapter 1, we looked at the quality of the word. The Bible talks about the fruit of good treasure, you know, that comes out. That's how you know true spiritual fathers. It is the quality, the deep revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit because of the depth of humility that God has worked into their heart. That Christ-like humility is already there. And in the last book, what we saw was that we now see other attributes, namely the fruit of the Spirit. And we saw two fruits, the fruit of gentleness, which is the disposition to forgive, to spare, to give life to in the place of prayer, to encourage, to care for, to correct, you know, in order to help brethren who are weak to overcome the weakness of the flesh. The Bible says a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, until he sends forth judgment to victory. So even though there's a flicker of trying to please God there, the mature apostolic ministry will nurture that flicker until it becomes a flame, and then it becomes a fire. Amen. That's gentleness, you know, and it helps brethren to outgrow their infirmities. Okay, and we saw last week that this is an extension of Jesus's high priestly intercession ministry. Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost them who come unto God by him. So by that intercession is being made through the prayers of mature spiritual fathers, and it's that intercession that really saves us and keeps us hanging in there when ordinarily on our own the weakness of the flesh would have taken us out of the way. Amen. All right. So and we see that fulfills what the Bible says, that the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please themselves. Okay. The other thing we saw was the fruit of faithfulness that, you know, the mature spiritual fathers seek the well-being of the flock above their own personal well-being, of their own personal, you know, consideration or their own personal interest. You know, the well-being of the flock is paramount in their hearts. So even though they have a right to take up offering, if it's going to hinder the move of the gospel in the heart of God's people, they will refrain from it, like the Apostle Paul did, for an example. Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. You know, so it's just to show you the extent. It's the God-given right. The Bible says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. So they have every right to receive that. Now give me verse 11. Yes, thank you. Let's read it, guys. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it not a great thing? Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So this is right. Next verse. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? There are people that are taking this thing and they're not, God have mercy, they're not even doing as much as we are doing. Okay? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but do what? Suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So the advancement of the gospel is their priority. This is their priority. This is the main interest. And this is so they desire that the saints grow consistently in divine love and to inherit the glory of God. Firstly, as a borrowed anointing, and then secondly, you know, as they carry the full glory of Christ. And they don't want anything to stand in the way. So I know that you can compare that to the ministry that fleeces God's people and insists on the offering and insists on certain amounts. So this is the difference between the holy and the profane. Okay. Right, now we're going to verse 13 by the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 13, first Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read together. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to help us, okay? Now, he's talking about, he says, thank we God without ceasing. And the first thing that jumped out to me there was without ceasing. No, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, we're not turning there, you know, they're talking about that, you know, that praying without ceasing and giving thanks, watching with thanksgiving in the same. So really, when your thanksgiving is a part and parcel of prayer, and we should cultivate that habit of always, as you pray, always giving thanks all the time. Amen. So you become a thankful person. Amen. And that's the will of God. You know, continue in prayer and watch in the same way, thanksgiving. So you watch yourself to make sure you are thankful. Because there's a tendency to be ungrateful in the carnal nature. It tends to be ungrateful. So it's important to, but you know, as you pray and as God uses you to release the power of God in prayer, you also make sure you watch that you are thankful and you're grateful. Amen. Now, all right, looking at that verse, as Apostle Paul was saying, that they received the word not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And I think that's very important. You know, the Bible is instructing us here that we should receive the truth of God's word without reservation. It's the word of God. So you can't pick and choose what's convenient for you. You take all. Amen. So it's without reservation and with a determination to practice it. And when you do that, what happens is the Bible says that the entrance of his word gives light. So that light in the word of God comes into our souls. Amen. And is now supposed to shine through our soul out in our conduct, in our words, in our thoughts, and in all we do. So that light, no, we must allow it to come in and then take its place and then shine out. Amen. And we must not, so for this to happen, we must not bury the truth. Don't bury the truth under the bed of personal convenience. You know, we bury the truth sometimes. We bury it through spiritual laziness. We bury it in the earth, you know, and we don't do it because it's inconvenient. No, that should not be our response. Our response should be that we deny ourselves in order to practice the word of God. Amen. This is the key. And that this is what how the Philadelphia church was different from all the other churches. They kept his word. They did not deny his name. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 15 to 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 8, all right? Now, let's read it together. But that, we know this is the parable of a sower, so it's talking about this category. Say, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? Keep it. They keep it and do what? Bring forth fruit with patience. Next verse. No man, when he had lighted a candle, I can't hear you. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covered it with a bushel. That's what the word of God does. When the word of God, it brings light with it. You don't cover it with a bushel. Or put it under a bed. But set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Next verse. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Next verse. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath the word of God, now that's the context, whosoever hath the word of God, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. See, it was what by you know, brethren, how we hear is very important. How you hear the word of God, do you hear it like you hear things on CNN? That's why we have to prepare our hearts when we come to church. That's why we pray these prayers. I choose to fear God, you know, and come in the fear of God. Because you cannot hear it just like, oh, okay, really. You can't hear it casually. You hear it with the gravity because it's able to save your soul and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That's why God is sending it to you. So you can't afford to hear it lazily. You can't afford to hear it sloppily. It's saying you don't put it under a bushel. You have to put it so that it gives light to all the house. The house here meaning your soul. So that through that house we can see God in you. Amen. That's the will of God. All right? All right? And Bible talks about a good and honest heart. What makes a heart good and honest? What makes a heart good and honest? Let's look at Luke chapter 14. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Amen. Amplified. Thank you. Right. Let's read it together, brethren. Everybody. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them, in comparison with his attitude towards God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers, I'm not reading again, and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It's categorical. It's not may not. Is no, he cannot. The word, your attitude to God, you must put God above all else. That is the attitude that makes us a disciple, meaning that you are able to walk in the discipline of the Christ life. You are able to walk like Christ walked. If God is not number one, by evidence, by making the word of God number one, he says you cannot. There are two cannots. The second cannot is in the next verse. Verse 27. Whoever, you will not do this, whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after, follow me, cannot be my disciple. You must get these two canons right. You must get it right. You must make God and His Word number one priority. So our priority is pleasing God. If you want to, what are we saying? We are saying that our priority is to please God by fulfilling the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's how you please. That if you're not doing that, you cannot follow Jesus. You cannot follow Him. Because you will not be able to. Because your heart will disqualify you. Yeah, and you will not have the wherewithal to be able to follow. Alright? So so He's telling us that this is how we receive the Word of God. And when we receive the Word of God, then the entrance of the Word of God will not be vain in our lives. That is, people will see the prophecy of the word that you have been hearing all these years. They will see it in your conduct. So that's why we need to keep our hearts diligently. To keep making sure that God is number one. Because it can change. It's dynamic. It can change. Keep making sure that we're diligent to the when it says carry your cross. It just means operating spiritual law. So you crucify the desires of the flesh in order to be able to do the will of God. That's what the cross is. It's a place of self-denial. Okay? All right? So this is the will of God for us. And God's going to help us do it in Jesus' name. So this is how to receive the word of God. To make sure that this is there. Now, if you reject truth that God sends to you, then you set up a chain of events that is not the will of God for us. God will help us in Jesus' name. We will not do that. But when we reject truth that God says, we set ourselves up for judgment. Bible says the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. It's not the will of God, but you know, because of what you did, you set yourself by choice from the place of blessing to a place of cursing. We will not do that in Jesus' name. All right. So, but what happens is let's look at Romans chapter 1. We're not going to do this, but we need to know about it. Okay. All right. Let's give it to me in the NIV. Straightforward, so we can understand it. Thank you. Right. The wrath of God is being revealed from where? Heaven. Against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who do what? Suppress the truth by their wickedness. Anytime you suppress the truth, is wickedness. You know it. God showed it to you. And then you pretend that, I didn't understand this. I didn't know the meaning. You're not deceiving. No, you can deceive a man. But you cannot deceive God. Because God, before you thought that thought, God was there. So he's clear. All right. Let's go to the next verse. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. He's made it plain. Jump to verse 10. So this is the key. When the truth comes, you're supposed to receive it. You're supposed to receive it open with open heart and ask God, help me to do it. You know, and determine to do it. Amen. That's the emphasis of what we're saying. And verse 20, when we don't do that, then we set up this chain. Look at this chain. Verse 24. Give me verse 24. Thank you. Therefore, God gave them over. Because of what they did, He gave them over to in the sinful desires of their hearts. Next verse. Next one, 26. Give me 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Give it to me in verse 28. See, God giving them over. Is their response, so it's just the response that triggered this response from God. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over. So when we receive the truth, the truth keeps us in the will of God. Amen. When we reject the truth, we allow ourselves to be given over. What are we giving over to? We are giving over because the Bible says God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. So when you reject the word of God, you are proud. You are saying that you know more than God. You are saying that you are wiser than Him. Right? And you can see further than Him. So it reduces the amount of the grace of God that and the mercy of God that you are enjoying. So you can be praying. You will still be praying. still be reading your Bible, but the power of God that should be coming from the grace of God is reduced. So to that degree, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will dominate the soul and the flesh to a greater degree. And you'll be doing, you know, you just be doing things that you swore that you would never do. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Alright? So ultimately that can take us to a place like Daniel talks about, a strong delusion, you know, which now robs us of our reward. You know, and the Bible says we should look to ourselves. 2 John verse 8 says we should look to ourselves lest we give it to me. 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves. Give it to me in the King James. King James is better here. Thank you. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward in Jesus' name. So you keep receiving the word. Amen? Amen. You keep receiving. Look at the example here. Matthew 25, verse 23 to 20. Matthew 25, parable of the talents, which is a very popular portion of scripture. We know it, but we're going to read it. His Lord said unto him, "This, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." This is the person that was before with two talents. Next verse. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed." Next verse. "And I was afraid." That's the sign that you're not obeying instruction. Because perfect love casts out fear. You're not obeying. So he wasn't obeying. He was disobeying. But he was giving an excuse for not obeying. Amen. "And went and hid thy talent" where? "In the earth of the flesh." So he kept it in the flesh. Instead of using it, you know, and letting it come in and putting on a candlestick, he hid it under the bed. He hid it in his flesh. "Lo, there thou hast that is thine." Next verse. "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant." What is the point here? Spiritual slothfulness is wickedness. It leads to wickedness. When you sins of omission, like we saw in one of the daily remnants from few days ago, okay? Sins of omission, you know, it's wickedness. If you don't correct it, it's wickedness. And that's what he led this guy to. You know, "Thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed." Okay, next verse. "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange." At least, it wouldn't have cost you anything. "So I've given it to the exchangers, okay? And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury or interest." Next verse. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That's what he said. "That to him that seemeth to have, even that which he had will be taken from him if he does not use it." So what is God saying here, brethren? The word of God that we hear, we should hear and practice. Amen. That's the will of God. And when we practice it, it brings us a reward. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay. Now move on to next verse. Verse 14. Verse 14. Let's read it. "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Remember that the Thessalonian church was a church that was born in the midst of persecution. And there was so much persecution that at a point, Paul, they had to take Paul out. The persecution was so much. And they had to take Paul out, and the brethren were there, you know, praying. But they were bringing forth fruit. They were growing, you know, and they were walking in love. No, so Paul is commending them here in this letter that you know, they became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. "For you also have suffered like things." So there's a similarity of your experience with the experience of the brethren in Judea. And this is what we want to bring out of this. Brethren, there's only one way to follow God. Only one way. How do you follow God? By practicing divine love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, give it to me in the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 5. First Samuel. Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God. And God is love. Amen. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Next verse. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. So what is God saying here? It is, you know, if you are following God in China and you are following God in Zambia and you are following God in Europe and you are following God in Nigeria, it's the same. It's universal. How do you know? Love. You increase in love. Your thoughts, your will, your mind, you become more like God in the way you think, because God is love. Amen. All right. And he says that that is the key, because he says the church of Judea, which is in Christ. So if you are a vine in Christ, you must bring forth the fruit of love. And so once you bring forth that fruit of love, guess what? You attract Satan's attention. Satan now sees you as a threat. So really, you know, persecution is good in a sense. It means that you are doing something against the kingdom of the devil. It means that you are making an impact for God on the earth. And Satan considers you a risk, a terrorist. You are terrorizing the kingdom of the devil. So he comes and brings persecution, which is criticism and rejection. And that's how they, you know, they are in error, you know. And no, they cast aspersion, you know, on your person, you know, and all that. And they say it all about, it's persecution. It is a sign that you are on the right side. Amen. It's a sign that we're on the right side. And you know, it comes for the word's sake. Listen, you must understand it. It's coming for the sake of that word that you have believed. Look at Mark 4:17. Amen. Mark 4:17. Quickly. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This is, remember, Satan contends for the word. That's what this God is trying to tell us. That this quality, precious word that you hear, Satan is contending for it. You know, he wants you to drop it. You know, he wants to give you an excuse to drop it. That is too difficult. It's too hard. You know, don't let go. Don't let go, because when you get offended, you are getting off your end. Like we were taught many, many years ago. Amen. Offense is getting you off your end. When you have the word, you are going to a certain end. There is a glorious end. There is a crown at the end. But if you are not careful and you drop the word, you know, in offense, like John the Baptist did, you know, what happens is that Satan then is now able to pick you up, because the affliction and person will not stop because you have dropped the word. Satan doesn't. The Bible says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Satan is not going to. He's not going to. So you might as well hold on to the word and stand your ground. Amen. It's the same devil that tells you a lie and says, just leave it. You know, it's too hard. You know, while I can't take for you, Gilaro, 5 o'clock. And no, it's too early. Sleep. You know, it's the same person telling you to sleep that is coming to plan for you in the course of the day. The same person is playing both ends against the middle. So what you do, stay with instruction. Stay with instruction. Because where the instruction is, that is where grace is. The Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13. You know, hold fast to it. You have to hold fast because that word is a precious word. You know what it's going to do? That word, no, it is going to work patience. Amen. That word will work patience in our lives. Patience will work experience, and experience will deliver to us a crown of glory in due season. It's very important to understand. It's a long-term thing. You know, and Bible says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. So there is no easy road to that crown. There is no easy road. Don't tell, he will tell you, there's no, tell you, let me give you the crown. He offered Jesus the crown without a cross. I said, bow to me. If you drop the word of God, that's what you are doing. You are bowing to him. We will not bow to him in Jesus' name. So what do you do? You say, get thee behind me. That's what you tell him. Get thee behind me. Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy, and him only shall you fear. It's the only one you're going to serve. It's the only one you're going to fear. So you don't allow him to deceive you with that. Look at Revelation chapter 3. That word is a precious word. Amen. That word is a glorious word. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Give me verse 7. Verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Next verse. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee what? An open door. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. How do you keep the word? You keep the word in your heart and in your mouth so that you can practice it. Amen. It's watching and praying. That's how you keep the word. By keeping it in your heart. No, in meditation, keep it in your mouth, in confession, praying in the spirit, and you do all three together, you are keeping the word. And you are keeping it in your heart. That's what he's talking about here. Amen? Alright? Let's jump to verse 10. Let me just pick out. Because thou hast kept the word of my... You have to do it patiently. This is what he's talking about. You know, you have to do it patiently. You know, it's not something you do for 2 days or for 1 week. You have to do it. Patience is steadfast continuance in doing it. Amen. Say, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Which has come, amen. Oh, it's already come. The day of temptation has already come. Thank you, sir. Amen. Look at verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. What do you have? The instruction. Hold it fast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. So that instruction would deliver. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for the Lord will give me a crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. So on this road to the glory, to the crown, there are temptations. Amen. And you know, the key is to keep the word in patience. A good example here is Daniel. There was a decree that if any man should pray to any other god for 30 days, that the person will be put to the lions. And Daniel, Bible says, when Daniel heard. But this is how we should be. When Daniel heard, he went and opened his window. Before, you are saying we should not pray. Now I want to pray publicly. He said, that means that he was so confident that obedience to instruction was his way of escape. He was absolutely convinced. So to make it, not only was he sure, he now wanted to make it an example to show others that this is how to do it. So he opened his window and started praying morning, afternoon, and night. And they said, "Ha, King!" The man Daniel, as soon as the king there, he realized that, yay, they set me up. He now started praying. He tried to say, and he said, "No, it's the law of the Medes and Persians. You cannot be changed." So they now took Daniel and took him to the lion's den. But that word, he kept him from temptation. He kept him from temptation. It's the same Daniel. When the king said that they should kill all the wise men, it's the same Daniel that went to God in obedience to instruction that God had given him and should pray. Went to pray all night. God revealed the secret to him. And he, because of him, all the other wise men were under his covering. God gave him all the lives of everybody because they would have killed everybody. But because he got the secret, you know, you become a savior to your generation by holding fast to the instruction of the word that God has given us. You know, don't compromise it. We know the story. In the end, the lion's mouth was shut by the angel because the back, he said, innocency was found in me. Amen. And you know, the lions were hungry. Because by the time they took Daniel out and dropped the men in, the Bible says that the lions had mastery. He ate them, including the bone. He chewed the bone and sucked the juice. All right, so what are we saying? He said the word is a word of life. And it will deposit you a crown of life. So he's saying that's your destiny. We are kings and priests unto our God. So you don't let it go. So that word is so important. So when persecution comes and when affliction comes, we should rejoice. Amen? That we are partakers. Look at verse 15. The devil, verse 15, we're going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 now, verse 15. Let's read it. Who both killed, talking about the Jews. Look, go back to verse 14 so you see the thought. Verse 14. All right, it says, for ye also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. These are Christians. Christians. They say that they are of the house. No, like it says in the book of Revelation. They say they are Jews, but do lie. they lie. Next verse. Now let's look at that. Next verse. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. What is he saying? The devil has always used Christians. Don't let the devil use you. Don't let the devil use you. Because when you reject the truth, and you become, the devil used John the Baptist. He said, are you he that is to come? John the Baptist that announced to us the Messiah. He now started saying that, are you the one? I'm not sure you are the one again. No? So if anybody went to him at that time, he would sow seeds of doubt in that person. Yeah, and it's all from the word. It's all from the word. So yeah, and it's over time. It's not immediate. It's over time. So what he's saying is this, that Christians have always persecuted other Christians. Those who have rejected truth or don't know the truth, persecute those who are walking in the truth. It happened to Jesus. It happened to the apostles, Paul, Peter. It happened to the prophets of old. And it's going to happen to you. Only Pastor Bregan of who said amen. Whether you say amen or not, you must expect it. Amen. And gird up the loins of your mind, so that you stay with the word of God that God has given. Amen. Diligently with zeal, you do the word of God. Amen. Is your insurance. Is divine insurance, and it will not let you down in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see from the example there. It is the proof that you're on the right track. Remember in the Acts of the Apostles, when the disciples were beaten, they gave God glory for the privilege to suffer persecution for Jesus' sake. You know, so you are in good company. There's a church that is so worldly that the world and them are so friendly. They are so friendly. They don't persecute them. They commend them. You know, they tell them, oh, that you are this. Oh, man of God, you are this. You are that. You are this. You are that. But remember that there is always a time. A time will come when temptation will come upon the earth. When judgment will come upon the earth. And judgment must begin from the house of God. And then we will now see who is going to save them. Whether it is those people that will save them or it is the God that they claim that they serve. No, brethren, we set the standard for the world. Amen. When we walk in righteousness, we provoke the world to a higher standard of righteousness. We provoke them. When we live our lives, they have to accept that there is something better than what they're doing. Amen. And it forces them to change. You know, as many as are sincere. Amen. So, and if you are a Christian that has persecuted, then like Saul, I pray that God will give you a Damascus experience. Amen. So that you will realize that you are not pleasing God. You are not pleasing God. And you are contrary to all men. What does that mean? You are standing in the way of other people's destiny. And you know what? You will give account. Oh yes, so you will give account. So brethren, we must be careful and ensure that we don't allow ourselves to be a part of this group. Amen. Verse 16, as we round up. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Christians, these are Christian brethren, is saying that the wrath is coming upon them to the uttermost. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Well, he's talking about people that use their resources and influence to shut the door to the gospel of godliness. Yes, they discourage people. Don't let that man come and preach in your church. If he comes to preach, the offering is going to reduce. So they spread slander. You know, they malign, you know, and do what they can do so that, you know, the gospel can be hindered. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God cannot be bound. It cannot be bound. You can't. Once it goes on the airwaves and goes to the hearts of men, what can you do? You are a mere man. You are not God. Amen. And so these are people, and the Bible says that they are increasing their sin and they are attracting more wrath from God. They are being controlled by a spirit. It is called the Antichrist spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 3. 1 John chapter 4 verse 3. Quickly. You have life in Jesus' name. Pray for them in tongues. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the Antichrist, and this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that he should come, and even now already is in the world. There is a spirit in the world that says that it is not possible to enter into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. We cannot be like Christ on this side of heaven. There are people that are Christians that believe that and preach it. That as long as we are here on this side of heaven, the spirit will always be willing and the flesh will always be weak. It is a spirit that is making them say that. Amen. It is a spirit, you know, and it's the Antichrist spirit. It is contrary to scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Give that to me. This is why it's very important to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness. The key word there is what? All. It's possible. All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit perfecting holiness where? In the fear of God. If it's not possible, how would God put it there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Give it to me. Quickly. You need to be really quick on this. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and the effect of life, godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He's talking about promises generally. That's one interpretation. Promise of healing, promise of prosperity, of long life. But he's talking specifically about another promise. Look at it. You know, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. So there are promises that promise you the divine nature. Okay, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss, we can escape. We will escape. Correction, we are escaping. Amen. Amen. We are escaping. We are escaping into godliness. We are escaping into holiness. We are escaping into Christ-likeness. Bible says 1 John 2:5. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is love of God perfected. Him, individual and corporate, is available. Amen. All right. So and it's important to thank you. All right. You know, in very love of God. Hereby we know that we are in Him. You know, so we are in Him. We are in Him, and what is in Him is flowing in us. Don't know. And this is why we must keep laboring in Him. I like the Daily Rhema that came this morning. You know, talking about entering into rest. So we labor to prove them wrong. The Bible says we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men by doing what? Demonstrating that Christ is coming, is manifest in your flesh. Amen. Yeah, you know when someone is arguing about something, somebody that has an experience, he will win over someone that has an argument. Because when you say, I'm experiencing this, there's nothing he can say again. You can see it. It demonstrated in your life, in your thought life, in your words, in your actions. And so he has to accept that God is in thee. This is the will of God. So how do we do that? We labor. Bible says we labor to enter into rest. We labor in the word. We labor in the word by receiving life. Amen. You know, Bible says labor of the righteous tends to life. We receive life and use that life in the place of prayer. We labor to study the word of God. These are the two ways in which we labor in the word. It's in that weekly, remember, check it, Pastor Bud. Pastor's preached this many years ago, just brought it out as a refresher for us, you know. Then secondly, we labor in the place of prayer, in travail. Bible says, Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. We labor, amen, and then we labor in the love of God. We now think, speak, feel, and act these things. You put the word of God in your hand. That's why that word is so important. That's why I sit and fight it. You have to put it in that your soul and think it and speak it and feel it, and then you act it out in different circumstances, amen. And these people, when you're talking about these and people that are controlled by the Antichrist spirit, you can see the characteristics. Look at Philippians 3:19 as we close. These are their characteristics. Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Who glory in their shame? Who mind earthly things? This is the characteristic. You know, their mind is on their yardstick for how spiritual they are, you know, how successful they are, is material possession. They mind earthly things. They glory in the things that should be their shame. You know, when they talk and give you a testimony, the testimony contradicts the word of God. Bible says they are enemies of the cross of Christ. The person they are serving is themselves, their belly. Amen. God will help us, and God will have mercy on them to enable them to acknowledge the truth. But what is it, brethren? God is telling us that we should hold fast to the truth that we have and let the truth build us up to receive our inheritance. Let us pray. Talk to God. God is calling us up to be Daniels. Uncompromising. Purpose in your heart. To obey the word of God. Stand on it. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When it's popular, when it's not popular. Renew that determination. To keep the word. Above all else, above all keeping. If you're lazy, make a mistake, confess your sins. Repent. Start afresh. God is merciful. By His mercy you will not faint. By His mercy you will not be consumed. The mercy will help you to be faithful. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. Fill in my heart and mind. By its light I will know Your way. Thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is my bread, by Thy word shall I live. Oh, how I love Thy law. Oh, how I love Thy law. Oh, how I love it more.
It is my meditation.
It is my meditation all of the day. Raise up our right hand in faith and put our left hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that truly Your word is a lamp unto my feet to guide me into the fullness of my destiny under the covering of my spiritual fathers. So Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. To be faithful, to receive Your word, to be obedient, to walk in the light of Your word, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, to operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, so that I will walk in divine love, I will grow in divine love, and that word will preserve me from temptation and would deliver unto me a crown of life that all they who are faithful will receive. Father, I receive mercy to be faithful, to triumph in temptation as I hold fast to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in spirit. Jabreka ko segelebe medika mababa rasataka kengalavama rababakande kusare robaba belelebe kaka rasana tome belelebe bako bale baba jeka kaso rodeka bangere baba jeka ko bangereya rabakatone rode de beta rabakato ronde biko bankata roboko sete jeka de bebesa robaka konge de beberiyana in Jesus name, amen.
He's a lamp unto my feet and a love.